The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your garden. Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you died of pursuit.
One day it'll all make sense. You say that about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is April the 8th, 2016. It is a Friday afternoon as we, for those that work a normal work week, you'll be looking at getting some rest and relaxation, we hope, over the weekend. Recharge your batteries as you wind down from this grind that many of us are on just simply to survive. Today's program, do want to talk about some of the things in the recent socio-political news sphere. We got Bill Clinton, former president, former CEO of USA Inc., defending his legacy of modern slavery and using the same racist rhetoric that he, his wife, and other people were making, Republicans and Democrats, were making back in the 1990s. He used that sort of language when he was confronted at a rally for his wife out there on the campaign trail, confronted at this rally by a Black Lives Matter activist who had signs saying that we're not super predators and things of that nature. And Bill Clinton went off on him, so we'll take a listen to that clip. Also, speaking of protesting, you had the CNN headquarters in Los Angeles. Now, I'm not sure if that's the headquarters for CNN. They may have New York offices, but of course they have a outlet out there in Los Angeles that they broadcast from. And they were targets of the Occupy CNN protest that occurred over the past couple of days. Now, these are mainly supporters of Bernie Sanders. And they've been calling out corporate media for its unbalanced coverage of the Clinton versus the coverage that Sanders' campaign is getting. I actually heard his wife being interviewed on MSNBC last night, and she, you know, also called out the media for their unbalanced coverage and what have you, and the attacks that every 30 minutes the Clinton surrogates are launching against her husband and what have you. But yeah, we got Hillary Clinton out here playing the damsel in distress. So, but yeah, now here is the thing about this coverage. A lot of people don't know the history. Well, how do these news outlets get away with, you know, this unbalanced coverage? If you can look at Donald Trump and all the free publicity he has gotten. If you measured it in dollars, how much they would have to spend on campaign ads in media coverage that way. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars of free coverage for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in comparison to the other people that they're running against on in either party. So I want to take a look at that. A lot of people don't know that this goes back to the Reagan administration and the attacks on media. You know, of course, Republicans have always wanted to privatize everything, and you've got Democrats to go along with it. And so in the 1980s, during Reagan's administration, they started, you know, trying to gut the rules pertaining to broadcast television. And then when cable blew up big, you know, then in the 90s, we had the 1996 Telecommunications Act. I talked about that yesterday in regards to our Black Media Matters campaign. But, you know, that allowed the big media corporations to buy up 90% of the market. And that's why, you know, and this is cable. They don't have to provide equal coverage as the old rules used to be. But on cable, they don't have to provide equal time to the different candidates and what have you. If I'm going to have Donald Trump on for 15 minutes a day, then I have to also give that same extend the same time to Kasich or Cruz or any of the other people that was in it. And the flip side on the Democratic side, you had Martin O'Malley. He was on TV last night, but, you know, when he was still in. So, you know, there has been unequal distribution of the time, and it's set up that way. And I don't think it's by happenstance as these big six media corporations that dominate 90% of the media airwaves and what have you. They owe a lot of their success in taking over the market to the Clintons and the Republicans, you know, particularly the Clintons with that 1996 Telecommunications Act. So we shouldn't be surprised that she's getting all this free coverage. Speaking of Donald Trump, he's getting support from Republicans now regarding the nations that he has dubbed the NATO Free Riders. Saying that, you know, these nations that are part of the NATO alliance, which is in Europe, saying that they are benefiting from the military alliance, but they're not paying their share of the costs. And Republicans are now coming out and saying that he's right. So I want to allow y'all to listen to a report I came across on that. And finally, I will wrap up the program with news about reparations. You got Danny Glover, who I believe is now been given a prominent position within the reparations movement. The established organizations out there, that's all they are really focused on is getting reparations for the descendants of enslaved Africans, whether they be in the Caribbean, whether they be here behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. So he has been making some moves, and he recently spoke to the Permanent Council of the Organization of American States, the OAS, where he called for international leaders to apologize for the enslavement of African Americans in the past through reparations for descendants. So he's just not looking for no words. He's looking for, you know, some money. And, well, it doesn't mention, because reparations can take many forms, and so, you know, we could open up that topic and, you know, free school, free college, tuition free. Those are a number of things. Universal health care. All of those things could be considered as reparations and what have you. But again, I'm of the mind. Yes, reparations are old, but not just to the descendants of the enslaved Africans and what have you, because every African descendant, I'm talking about African American people, are not descendants of enslaved Africans. I don't know how many times I have to say that. I guess a million times before it gets into the mass consciousness that, you know, plenty of free black people lived on this country, helped establish this nation, you know, were colonists and, you know, participated in every people activity, and they weren't all enslaved. Not even the majority of them were enslaved. So, but they did suffer under legalized, codified through law, white supremacy. And so they're owed reparations. Everybody is owed reparations for that. All the melanated people are owed reparations. We didn't bring in Native Americans, although some would say they have been getting their reparations, millions of dollars from the federal government, not millions, hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government. They have some measure of autonomy, But when it comes to black people, other victims of slavery in this country, well, again, slavery has never been abolished and it's ongoing. So there's a couple of side notes that we can make on that topic. Now, if you would like to get in a question or a comment before we wrap up the program, please don't hesitate to give us a call. The conference line number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *61 to comment on air. Please also take advantage of the web-based flash phone to make free calls from anywhere in the world. And finally, the studio line is 704-951-5030. So that's 704-951-5030. Now, before we get started, do want to remind you of the Black Radio Stations Matter T-shirt campaign that we have launched along with our other crowdfunding efforts so that we can continue to fund the Black Talk Media Project so that it can continue to manage the Black Talk Radio Network as well as expand our current media operations and develop new operations across the USA. So definitely we are now taking pre-orders for the t-shirts. They will be ready for shipping next week, no later than Thursday of next week. I believe that'll be April the 14th, if I'm not mistaken. But we are taking pre-orders. In fact, already two people ordered those shirts today that we give as a gift for your contribution to the North Carolina-based nonprofit. So you're not buying a t-shirt. You're making a contribution to a worthy cause, and you will receive a t-shirt as an appreciation gift and what have you. Also, for those who help fund the network, again, the media reports of our media operations, the performance reports, I should say, go out within the first 5 days of every month. So you are also entitled to those. And we will come up with more creative gifts, more t-shirts and whatnot to show our appreciation of those who make our work possible. Let's go ahead and jump into this first story. Today, again, as I reported, the former CEO of USA Inc., Bill Clinton, was defending Hillary Clinton's record on expanding the police state. And also during that time period, and they were working with Republicans. They didn't do this all by themselves. You know, he had help from the Republican Congress. And so, you know, they expanded the use of private prisons. I was watching MSNBC last night. Chris Hayes, I believe the dude name is. Anyway, he made some comments that were straight up lies, man. He had Joy Reid on, the Joy Ann Reid, you know, the Harvard educated black woman who used to have her own show. But as Mother Reid pointed out to me, she was like, you know, they really are purging these black people from these from having their own shows. Now, you know, they lucky if they get a seat at the desk to come in on for a 5-minute segment, if it lasts that long. So anyway, he was talking to Joy Reid and they were talking about this confrontation between Bill Clinton and Black Lives Matter activists under that movement label and what have you. And, you know, they basically overall saying, you know, this could be a problem for Hillary Clinton with him using this language that most people say by now is incorrect to be using. You got to be more codified. You know, people them kind of figured out some of these racist whistles that you know, you people running those Southern strategies like to run politicians and whatnot. So this is unacceptable language and what have you. But then they talked about the Clinton crime bill, and this was Chris Hayes talking the most. I think that's his name, Chris Hayes. Not Chris Hedges, I'm not sure. Anyway, he said that the bill did not increase, had nothing to do with increasing mass incarceration. And that's a doggone lie, because that 1996 Clinton crime bill put 100,000 more slave catchers out on the street, okay, What else did it do? It also helped, you know, further Nancy Reagan's, you know, vision of a school to prison pipeline. They put these cops in these schools like that. It created a whole lot of legislation, new rules, new codes and whatnot that led to more people getting locked up. So how Chris Hayes gonna come out his mouth like that? You know, again, you know, they counting on their viewers not knowing these things, not knowing the history and not paying or not asking questions. And so, you know, as I always say, when you watching mainstream media, you know, you always got to have your propaganda antenna up and being able to, point out or notice when somebody, you know, trusted news source, that's why they on TV and you not, tells a lie, a straight up lie that you can, you know, actually do the research and show that they're lying. So anyway, they were talking about that last night. And if you haven't heard Bill Clinton's comments, it's trending today on social media. Fox News is especially loving Bill Clinton's comments because they engage in those sort of dog whistles all the time. In fact, it was mainly right-wing media back in the 90s. It was from within the conservative circles that this super predator theory first emerged. And because Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton decided, you know, they good Southerners from Arkansas and what have you, and they was going to run a Southern strategy to bring these racist white voters back to the Democratic Party. And we going to be tougher on these niggas than Reagan ever was, you know, than these Republicans ever were. And y'all excuse me if I just keep it real with my language. We know that's how they refer to us. So anyway, if you have not heard Bill Clinton's exchange with these activists protesting under the label Black Lives Matter, here is a brief snippet from Fox News.
I don't know how you would characterize the gang leaders who got 13-year-old kids hopped up on crack and sent them out onto the street to murder other African-American children. Maybe you thought they were good citizens. She didn't. She didn't. You are defending the people who tell the lies you say matter. Tell the truth.
So Bill Clinton wants people to tell the truth. Let's tell the truth about it. As you can tell from the meme that I use for today's program, Bill Clinton don't want to talk about, you know, he want to talk about drug dealers putting guns in the hands of kids and getting them hocked up on crack. And then they going out and sending them out into the streets to murder other little African-American kids. Now, you know, come on, people, that's straight up a lie. You know, again, you know, I came up, I was born in 66. Running the streets of Detroit in the 70s, late 70s, what have you, came down south, cracked down here too, what have you, and, you know, then joined the military. So I came of age during this period, so I'm a firsthand witness to what was going on and what have you. And you know, they were not putting guns in the hands of little kids to send them out there to kill anybody. What they were doing, because I was a victim of this when I was in Detroit as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old. Let's keep it real. Let's tell the truth about it, as Bill Clinton says. So you had like these 20, 30-year-old men who would put heroin packets and crack cocaine in the hands of kids to sell out there on the corners and stuff like that. And so the violence was associated with the illegal street market that the government set up through his drug war. And, you know, these were wars for turf and what have you. They wasn't just kids just going out, hocked up on crack, just murdering people just for the hell of it. No, these were gang wars. Some of what we see today in Chicago is still going on. None of this has subsided. None of it has subsided. And so I don't mind telling the truth about it. Because I came up in it, you know, I ain't going to say I came up, but for 3 years out of my life in Detroit, I was part of one of Detroit's most notorious drug gangs. And they were not just killing people, because, you know, it's fun or something. Like, white people kill for fun. You know, we see their pictures of all the animals they kill and what have you. And so, no, this is not what was going on. These were drug turf wars that were occurring. But look, he want to, you know, those older guys, those men, wrongly, and they were trying to game the system because they know if a kid get arrested with the crack and whatnot, that, you know, he's going to juvie hall, the juvenile justice system at worst. This is before they start changing the laws to start trying, you know, these kids as an adult and put them in prison for life and things of that nature. So, you know, that was the strategy that they were using. I have firsthand knowledge of this. I was in Young Boys Incorporated. Anybody from Detroit that grew up in the 70s and in the early 80s, y'all know what gang I'm talking about, or what, you know, drug cartel I'm talking about, because it was more than just a gang. It was organized crime. Okay, now, who put the drugs in the hands of the men who was putting the drugs in our hands to go out there in the street and sell it? Okay, well, we got Free Ray Wiki Ross, who's told us where he was getting all of that cheap powder cocaine from, that they then came up with a formula of cutting it with baking soda and turning it into crack. Well, he was getting it from, you know, his Contra CIA connections and what have you. You know, getting that dope from Panama. We talk about Panama. What was his name? Manuel Noriega. See, we had to go way back. We had to go back to the 80s. We had to go to Oliver North, the CIA, the Iran-Contra, and flooding all of these cities with, you know, these drugs and what have you. Cities that you didn't create any jobs in, you know, just like today. You know, and you got all these people starving, trying to survive and whatnot, living in poverty. Of course they're going to sell drugs to get some money to pay the rent, to eat. Let's just be real about it, people. Let's be real about it. So who facilitated all of that? Because as we've heard, I remember coming up, and it is true. It's not just a saying. It's not just a slogan. But I remember coming up during that time, and people like Minister Farrakhan and others were saying, you know, black people don't own boats. We don't own planes. We don't even own trains and whatnot. So how is all of this dope getting into the urban areas, the inner cities and whatnot? Somebody supplying it is coming from the outside, as well as supplying the guns and whatnot. So Bill Clinton obviously doesn't want to talk about that. He doesn't want to talk about his predecessors, the CEOs before him. He don't want to talk about Reagan. He don't want to talk about Bush, H.W. Bush. He don't want to talk about what he was doing. And we know from reports that this still goes on to this day. What mainstream media, when they talk about this, they will not be bringing up like the DEA. Currently, within the past 2 years, they won't talk about the DEA cutting deals with the Sinaloa drug cartel, allowing them to smuggle drugs. And if you know they smuggling drugs, they smuggling guns as well. To Chicago, direct pipeline of Chicago. This is in the news. This is in mainstream media reports. This is in Chicago courtroom records up there in Chicago. Anybody can verify this. I'm not breaking any news here, but, you know, you're not going to hear from CNN, MSNBC. They're not going to bring these things up. Who put the crack in the hands of the drug dealers that Bill Clinton is talking about, you know, gave to these kids, got them hooked up on crack to go out and murder a bunch of other kids? Now, who wants to bring, think about that, people, that even from a drug dealer's perspective, who wants to bring that kind of attention to your illegal drug operation? All right, this is all media hype. They was hyping this kind of stuff up in the media back then. Hollywood was coming out with Boys in the Hood in the 90s and whatnot with these extreme cases. Yeah, there were certain cases that did some of the extreme stuff go on. Most certainly it did. But it wasn't a epidemic level of killing. And as has been stated, by the time of the Clinton crime bill, violent crimes were already declining. They were already declined, which I don't give credit to any politician. I give the credit to the grassroots activists that were out there mobilizing all my, well, I ain't going to say all my life, but since I was a teenager, there have been Stop the Violence campaigns going on, run by various grassroots organizations. And that is who has been bringing awareness, bringing healing, bringing, you know, conversations to the community around this violence. And we can't control everybody. You know, we got all these kids that's being programmed by the big six media corporations, primarily Clear Channel, that's playing all of that music, that's programming them to be drug dealers, users, abusers, and killers and whatnot. So, yeah, we're going to have those people like that, but that kind of violent crime has been in decline historically in this country. So let's just tell the truth about it. See, Bill Clinton don't want to tell the truth about it. And it's no coincidence that, you know, they passed this legislation. Look, we talk about it on New Abolitionist Radio. You know, the connections that the Clintons have going all the way back to their days in Arkansas and their connections to Wackenhut, which later became the Correction Corporation of America, the world's largest private prison enslaver. Yes. All right. The Clintons have connections to not only them, but all the other private prison industries. All right. And then you pass this draconian police state legislation. And you know who you're going to tell the police, these 100,000 new police. You know who you're going to tell them to target. Just like we heard the NYPD the other day, certain members say we're the bounty hunters and we're the predators and they're the prey. See, they the real super predators. They were the real super predators. They are the super predators. All right? So they had that mandate back in the 90s to go and lock up all these people. And then, you know, they passed what? Was it 1996? I think Bill Clinton's crime bill was 1994. I think it was 1996 when they passed the Welfare Reform Act, when Hillary Clinton was out there running around talking about these single mothers are just lazy and not looking for work and what have you. And so we got to cut all these people off of food stamps. Oh, by the way, if you ever been locked up for crack cocaine or any other kind of drugs like that, you don't get food stamps. You're banned from food stamps for life. You're banned from federal public housing for life. And the money that we're going to save on public housing, we're going to put that in the pot over here with the federal expansion of using private prisons. It's all connected. It's all connected. You got to know history, though. You have to know history. And, you know, we're talking about the history of politics in this country to know these things. You have to do a little digging. You can't depend on mainstream media to fill you in with this background. So, you know, right back at you, Bill. Let's tell the truth about it. Let's tell the truth. And the truth is, black lives ain't never mattered to Bill Clinton. They ain't never mattered to Hillary Clinton. They ain't never mattered to all of these establishment politicians, regardless of their skin color, you know, because let's tell the truth about it. The Congressional Black Caucus was out there calling for these things, too, and hyping it up, you know, as a response, running to the government to solve your problems. And this is what happened. You got a bigger problem. You got an expansion of modern-day slavery. So, yeah, we're going to tell the truth. Let's tell all the truth, Bill. Let's tell all the truth and let's talk about, you know, your wife's continued ties to the private prison enslavers and what have you. And she talking about she going to end private prisons. Well, where's her plan? How does she plan to get it done? I know Mr. Sanders and Keith Ellison and I forgot that Hispanic representative out of Arizona. We know, you know, they got a plan on how to close down private prisons and whatnot. It's in the bill. Justice is Not for Sale Act 2015, which is legislation in Congress right now. just waiting on the right people to get elected and pass that'll shut down these private prison. Well, it will shut down the private prison industry. CCA, the GO group, they'll have to find MTC, they'll have to find a new home. They will no longer be allowed to operate and be based here in the United States. And that pretty much would kill them. That would kill their industry. So you're not going to tell me you got a plan to end private prisons when you got people who work as lobbyists for the private prisons are bundling this cash for Hillary Clinton's campaign. So, you know, Bill getting testy out there. He's going over the edge. He had a throwback. You know, yesterday was Thursday. Bill did a throwback Thursday on y'all. And he was like, you know, they were super predators. And they were, you know, using the same language. That all you need to do is tune in to Fox News Radio. Again, if you look at the social media under this, if you look up the social media, Black Clinton, Black Lives Matter, these right-wing people outlets are really pushing this, man, because that's right up their alley. That's right out of their playbook. And that's the Southern strategy that the Clintons was running as recent as 2008 when they was running against Obama. But again, people have short-term memories. They have short-term memories. Now, he also went on to say something about Hillary, you know, Black Lives Matter in Africa and all Hillary did for the AIDS people. Infected with AIDS in Africa. I don't recall Hillary Clinton doing much work. Now, I know George W. Bush, they, you know, been cited for a whole bunch of money the federal government threw at the AIDS problem in Africa that many people say they helped create and what have you. But I don't remember Hillary Clinton talking about that. But also, if we want to talk about Africa, how can we not talk about Bill Clinton in Rwanda, huh? If Black Lives Matter so much to the Clintons, what happened in Rwanda, Bill? Huh? What happened in Rwanda? That's what I want to know. Let's take a listen to what Bill Clinton was talking about last year. Let me go back for a minute. Bill Clinton's been apologizing for a lot of stuff. We're going to take a short station identification break, and then we will play this next clip of Bill Clinton talking about his personal failures at the end of the 20th century. You know, he's been apologizing for a whole lot, man, so how are he getting defensive then when he's called out on it? Well, that's because he ain't really sorry for none of it. That's why. And he's reverting back to the Bill of the 90s. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on Black Talk Radio Network. Show the world that black radio stations matter. Pick up and pre-order your T-shirt, Black Radio Stations Matter T-shirt, for that you will get as a appreciation gift for your support, your financial support for the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. We'll be back on the other side.
I scratched up.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Mr. President, Madam First Lady, ladies and gentlemen, we are here tonight, make no mistake about it, because of one of humanity's great failures at the end of the 20th century. And one of my personal failures. for the world did not intervene to try to stop the Rwandan genocide. And in breathtaking fashion, it was over in 90 days. The man you just heard from is the real reason it was over. He and his forces stopped it. And then when he could have taken power in a military coup, he instead opted for democracy and served first as the country's vice president. I first went to Rwanda in part to apologize for my failure to do what I could to stop the genocide in 1998. President Kagame was still the vice president. I asked if they would gather some survivors to meet with me. I never met six more amazing people in my life. One woman in particular I remember because she was so beautiful and seemed to have no scars. One person that had an arm cut off, others were heavily marked. And she said she was unmarked because when she was attacked, after having been betrayed by her neighbors, she was given the machete blows on her back and left for dead. And she woke in a pool of her own blood to find her husband and six children lying dead around her. She said, I screamed out to God in anger that I had been spared. And then I realized I must have been spared for a reason that could not be something as mean as vengeance. So I do what I can to help us begin again. What she could do was to help orphan children find homes without regard to their ethnic background.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. I only want to hear from this racist, white supremacist Bill Clinton. Check this out. This is from The Guardian. Okay, classified papers show Clinton was aware of final solution to eliminate the Tutsis. U.S. chose to ignore Rwandan genocide. This is the classified papers, you know what I'm saying, you know, that come out every once in a while, you know, Rick Nixon's chief of staff. Again, they finally confirmed, which news reports were already out there. Books have been written. Nixon's chief of staff said the drug war was started to target black people and anti-war protesters and what have you. And so, you know, every 20 years or so over the years, you know, we get these classified documents that are made public. So that's the case with Rwanda in the Clinton administration. This article that was written by Rory Carroll out of South Africa said President Bill Clinton's administration knew Rwanda was being engulfed by genocide in April of 1994, but buried the information to justify its inaction, according to classified documents made available for the first time. Senior officials privately used the word genocide within 16 days of the start of the killings, but chose not to do so publicly because the president had already decided not to intervene. Intelligence reports obtained using the U.S. Freedom of Information Act, you know, that same piece of legislation that has been used to expose Hillary Clinton's secret basement server. Yeah, that one. But those records show the cabinet and almost certainly the president had been told of a plan, final solution to eliminate all Tutsis before the slaughter reached its peak. It took Hutu death squads 3 months from April the 6th to murder an estimated 800,000 Tutsis and moderate Hutus, and at each stage, accurate, detailed reports were reaching Washington's top policymakers. So let's bring this up today. You know, Bill Clinton wanna say Hillary Clinton was over there in Africa and helping the AIDS people infected with AIDS and what have you. Look, man, these people are nothing but monsters. They are liars and what have you. Now, let's look at a similar something. You say, well, that's Bill Clinton. That's not Hillary Clinton. Well, I got something similar for you. We know from Sidney Blumenthal's The Clinton Confidant, longtime confidant, businessman, don't have no kind of role in government or whatnot, but he was over there Dude, he probably do got a contract with the CIA or something like that, but he over there in Libya, all right, when NATO decided to back these Islamic rebels to overthrow the secular government of Muammar Gaddafi, the Libyan government, and he had emailed her that these Arab militias were slaughtering defenseless people, primarily Black people. They were targeting the African migrants, and they were targeting. I shared a picture. I know it's a gruesome picture of that mass grave with all of those Black bodies in it, rotten and whatnot. But Hillary Clinton, from her private server, and the documents, the emails that have been released, show that she was told about these war crimes. Did she bring this up? No, she did not say anything. She did not intervene. She didn't tell Obama. I don't know if Obama saw it or not. I don't know if she, you know, but this was on her private server. See, so we don't know. Was Obama in the loop on that private server? I don't know. But we do know Sidney Blumenthal was talking to some of these rebel commanders that they had used to overthrow for regime change in Libya. And he said that they were committing atrocities and what. We got the videos on YouTube. I mean, these are their trophies. These are their, you know, death scenes and stuff, you know. And they uploaded it to the internet, what they were doing to these people. So the evidence is right there. We ain't heard nothing from the UN. We ain't heard nothing from the International Criminal Court. Nothing on the war crimes that were the genocide that occurred in Libya, with Hillary Clinton right next door in Afghanistan, getting email updates on the situation on the ground in Libya. Sidney Blumenthal emailed her, said all these people were being slaughtered. Hillary Clinton chose not to do anything. They are they're perfect for each other, aren't they? The perfect couple. Both of them. Monsters. Vampires. This is part of the population control. Remember, Hillary Clinton talks about Henry Kissinger, you know, endorses her and whatnot. Again, people, we have documents. All we got to do is put the pieces of the puzzle together. We have a paper record trail. Let me tell you why these people, and when it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, it don't matter. That don't matter when we're talking about CEOs of USA Inc. None of that matters. But Hillary Clinton. Oh, and I also found when I reported yesterday about John McCain Institute getting that $1 million from the Saudis, Henry Kissinger was also in those photos at the McCain Institute. So, again, these are bipartisan psychopaths. You know what I'm saying? They're in both parties. So, anyway, Henry Kissinger came out with National Security Memo when he was Secretary of State. National Security Memo 200, go look it up, where they were talking about population control and talking about these populations of these third world countries were a threat to the security of the United States. It's depopulation. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just a conspiracy. It's not a theory when you can point to documents, when you can lay out the evidence, and the evidence says that these people are engaged in a conspiracy to control or curtail the world's population, mostly targeting non-white people. So, most definitely, Black lives do not matter. No sense of Bill Clinton trying to flip the script and say that these Black Lives Matter activists didn't care about, you know, like they're defending murderers and criminals and things of that nature. No, they're not. That's totally, entirely separate issue from modern slavery. And it's not an issue that Black people have been ignoring, because as I stated, since I was a teenager, they have been nationwide Stop the Violence campaigns. And we can look at the FBI crime statistics and show a steady decline in violent crime. So, let's not agree with the right wingers and the racists and saying that Black people don't care about the Black other black people that's being killed by in these drug wars. Really, that's how I could just call it that. They are drug wars between these cartels. And just want to point at the people at the bottom of the totem pole, but don't want to point at the U.S. government and specific government agencies who are facilitating global drug trafficking. We can even throw the banks in there with their drug money laundering and what have you. So I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on from that. But the Clintons are something else. I tell you, they are some. They're good. They're good at what they do. They just ain't that good to fool me. Now, briefly, I want to talk about this next story. Media does matter.
Over the weekend, there was a protest.
Give me just a moment. I want to share this video with you from TYT, the Young Turks, Occupy CNN protest that was going on. Because media does matter, people. Media matters. Malcolm X, great visionary that he was, prophet. He said, media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It controls the minds of the masses. It can make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. And that's power because it controls the minds of the masses. Right now, we're seeing this media campaign. Again, the 1996 Clinton Telecommunications Act allowed these rich, wealthy people that own these corporations and what have you to buy up 90% of the media, all the media out there, whether we're talking about television, whether we're talking about cable, whether we're talking about newspapers, magazines. Six companies control 90% of everything. That was made possible by that 1996 Telecommunications Act. And so if it seems like the corporate media is slanted in their coverage towards one candidate or another, well, it's because they are. They know that these people have done things in the past that have benefited their industry and that they will continue to do things to protect their industry and increase their control on what the masses consume. So I just wanted to say that before I go into this Occupy CNN, although they're doing it for partisan reasons, and this is mainly Bernie Sanders supporters, but they're doing it because it's real. It's not something they're making up. Yeah, they care about their candidate and all this and that, but it's not something they're making up. So let's go ahead and listen to this clip from Cent Unger from the Young Turks Independent Media talking about this.
So CNN here in Los Angeles, they wanted to protest the Bernie blackout. And so what is that? Well, we're going to show you what it is in a second. We're going to prove it to you as well. First of all, let me show you a tweet from the protest. Here's Matthew Allen writes in, spending my Sunday doing a peaceful protest of CNN's blackout of Bernie Sanders, hashtag Occupy CNN, hashtag Bernie 2016. So I love the different reporting from the scene. We actually have a video that we shot there, so you'll get to see with your own eyes how many people were there. But look at Salon. They say the local Los Angeles NBC News affiliate reported that around 2,000 dedicated Sanders supporters, a local Fox News affiliate put the figure as low as 200 people, took to the streets to share protest signs referring to CNN as the Clinton News Network and calling on the network to stop hiding Bernie. So I'm greatly amused by that. NBC 2000, Fox affiliate 200, right? Again, you'll see in a second how many people were actually there. And are they actually hiding Bernie Sanders? Well, not just CNN, but all the media. Well, I've got some numbers for you guys. This is according to the New York Times. According to one tally of nightly broadcast network news during the 2015 primary season, Sanders received a total of 20 minutes of coverage compared to Clinton's 121 minutes and Trump's 327 minutes. Okay, so let's give you more results. Another study that focused solely on network coverage showed Sanders receiving 6% of the coverage Trump did on the network news in 2015 and 16.5% that of Clinton. So now, compared to Trump, it is an outrage how little they've covered Bernie Sanders. And given that this guy, who was considered the most liberal senator in the country, derided by the mainstream media as a socialist, erased a 59-point lead that Hillary Clinton had nationally. In a recent poll, he was 1 point ahead of her. I mean, that is an unbelievable news story that a Democratic socialist, who you all dismiss universally, would come back and make this race this close. Nope, not interesting. Well, let's go back to Trump, right? Now, that's one thing. But in a race with Hillary Clinton versus Bernie Sanders, to give her five times, six times as much coverage as you give Bernie Sanders, also outrageous, maybe more outrageous. So, according to the study by the New York Times, Donald Trump has received over $1.8 billion worth of free media. By contrast, Clinton has received $746 million and Sanders $321 million. But look at the Clinton-Sanders numbers there. So, that's well over $400 million advantage that Hillary Clinton has, on top of the millions of dollars in advantage she had in the beginning by the large donors that she had. Now, Bernie Sanders has overcome some of those advantages by raising money from small donors, and he took in over $100 million from donors averaging only $27 just in the last 3 months. Those are amazing numbers. They're not coming from billionaires. They're not coming certainly from the networks. But that's also another good point, that some of these networks are run by Hillary Clinton donors. Two out of the top 10 biggest donors to Hillary Clinton's campaign are Time Warner, which owns CNN, and Comcast, which owns NBC and MSNBC and CNBC. So I don't know why they don't disclose that before they do news coverage of these. I mean, look, if they say, hey, look, we're biased, that's okay. We're a giant donor to Hillary Clinton. We prefer her to Bernie Sanders. At least that's honest, no problem. But they never say that. They pretend to be neutral. They pretend to be unbiased while they give $400 million extra coverage to Hillary Clinton, let alone what they give to Donald Trump, let alone the direct political contributions they've given to Hillary Clinton. Those are facts, right? So those people that showed up in front of the CNN building, they know better than the average person. They don't know less because the mainstream media, again, in their enormous disdain of anyone who supports Bernie Sanders, like, oh, millennials, Bernie Sanders supporters, what would they know? Here's what they know. Facts. The facts you never report on. By the way, did CNN cover this significant protest right outside their door? Of course not. Now, that I get at least because it's embarrassing. Others have jumped in, like Rosario Dawson, a very big Bernie Sanders supporter. She tweets in, I think my pronunciation of hehe is questionable. Anyway, I think CNN is mad that I promoted the sit-in in front of their offices today. Hashtag getting to them. Hashtag do your job. And I love it. Anna showed up there just to see what was going on. And they went from the chant of CNN, do your job, CNN, do your job, to TYT does its job. TYT does its job. It's freaking awesome. Again, tape in 1 second. Let me give you one more tweet here. I like this sign from a protester. Report the revolution. When you have a 60-point lead, evaporate from the mainstream establishment candidate, that's a revolution. Whether Bernie Sanders wins or not, that is such a sea change that it's preposterous that they haven't reported it more significantly. Now, let's go to the actual protests and listen.
Hashtag Occupy CNN.
We're sick and tired of the media blackout and bias against Bernie Sanders. All candidates should get fair and equal coverage. And what's most important to me is there are people out there who are voting for Hillary Clinton, who are voting for Trump, solely based on the information that CNN and MSNBC are shoving down their throats, that people, if they had all the actual facts, might not even be voting for them. It's not even just about Bernie. It's about fairness and journalism.
Shame on CNN! Shame on CNN!
They're puppeteers at this point, and they're committing media malpractice in a lot of ways.
We're here today because we're sick of the corporate media bias against Bernie Sanders and other candidates.
CNN's parent company is in the top 10 donors to Hillary Clinton's career.
The media has not actually done all its research, that it is not listening to the people that are actually outside this building today. I feel like they are taking away what we're here for and we fight for.
CNN is not televising this event. So through social media and through you guys, the Young Turks, which is my favorite channel, we're getting that message out.
TYT!
TYT!
So the more people that tweet, hashtag, hear this message, we're able to get that message out to everybody.
I'm so excited because you are the future of media. Just as
all right, we're going to stop it there. As you heard that report from the Young Turks, an independent media outlet. Man, I'm so jealous of them right now, you know. But we'll get there. Blade Talk Media Project will get there. We will establish our outlets all across the nation, no matter how long it takes, but we'll only get there with your help. So again, make black media matter, because I'm gonna tell you why how black media is not mattering today, and it ties into that clip we just heard. You know, you heard the same things from him that you heard from me about these media companies. You know, it's just a very few of them. They control the entire narrative. The reality that you think you live in is created by them. Okay. It's created by them. The facts you think you know, all right, 9 times out of 10, those facts are coming from an untrusted source, and that's the mainstream media. All right. But black media does not matter, because if it mattered, if they were informing people on Hillary Clinton's record, on her husband's record, not just going back to the 90s, but during her time as the Secretary of State. Do you mean to tell me all these grandmothers and grandfathers and these pastors and preachers and all of that would be endorsing a woman who has been engaged in so much corruption? Again, let's look at her time at the State Department. Email scandal, trying to keep a private server in her basement, basement of her home in New York, where they are campaigning now, and we'll have the next Democratic debate in New York, trying to keep her communications out of the loop so that nobody could do Freedom of Information Act requests and get the information. The other people, when I say secret, yes, it was secret, because the other people who handled the Freedom of Information Act requests were telling people, we don't have that information. We have nothing on the Libya operations. We have nothing on the Honduras operations. None of this. We don't have none of it. Come to find out, it was on Hillary Clinton's private server in her basement. That's why people were at that section of the State Department didn't know how to handle the FOI requests and saying that information don't exist. Oh, but it did exist. That's a corrupt individual. That speaks to incompetence in the very least. Y'all make all the excuses you want to make and talk about how qualified she is. Okay, but no. Again, I mentioned the genocide that occurred in Libya that she had direct knowledge of and did nothing to stop. Just like her husband, Bill Clinton, did nothing to stop the Rwanda genocide and what have you. Okay, what else we got? While she was there, diplomats at the State Department was told to spy on and steal personal information from other United Nations diplomats, like their credit card numbers, any mistresses that they look. People, y'all can look this up. Just cause you didn't see it on CNN or MSNBC don't mean that it didn't get reported on. You can look it up. Let's see, you had at least one ambassador who was arrested for soliciting sex from a minor in a South American country. You've had all kind of scandals go down with this woman. And that's who you're supporting? I mean, I believe in second chances and all, but come on. She hasn't paid for any of the crimes like Pookie did when, you know, he got 3 strikes. How many strikes Hillary Clinton get before she see the inside of a jail cell or her husband? So, I mean, it's because these people aren't getting the right information. It's why when we look at, you know, the exit polling from South Carolina, we see 95% of black voters voting for Hillary Clinton in the primaries and what have you. They can't have all the information. They can't be. And, you know, we could say black radio ain't doing its job, but Do we actually even have any black radio in South Carolina, or are all those stations owned by Clear Channel and whatnot? And they just put some black puppets on air. You know, much like they do on CNN, MSNBC, and others. See, this is why media matters. It all goes back to, you know, the beginning and why Black Talk Media Project was started. Based off of that one interview when I saw Malcolm X talk about the power of the media, I knew what my skill set would be perfect for me to pursue this avenue. And it just turns out that it's something that our people really need, and that's a truly independent black media. And we've been in this on this mission since 2008. So, not much else to say about that clip there, except for, you know, those people do recognize how the media is controlling the narrative. Now, I'm going to take a station identification break, and then when I come back, I got two more stories to share with you. Donald Trump getting his support from Republicans regarding the nations he has dubbed the NATO free riders. So I guess that's a politically correct way of saying that, you know, they're on welfare and whatnot, you know. Activist and actor Danny Glover recently spoke at, what was that, the Permanent Council of the Organization of American States, where he said that these leaders must apologize for the enslavement of African Americans through reparations. Not just through words, but through reparations. Black Talk Radio News on Black Talk Radio is made possible in part by your donations to the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based media nonprofit. Make a financial contribution today. You can pre-order your Black Radio Stations Matter tees. Just go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and you will definitely see the banners and what have you. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay tuned.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
I thought that it was a matter of real concern that planted stories intended to serve a national purpose abroad came home and were circulated here and believed here, because this would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. Now, we're looking at that very carefully.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
At CBS, we had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole News and Public Affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
We have quite a lot of detailed information, and we will evaluate it, and we will include any evidence of wrongdoing or any evidence of impropriety in our final report and make recommendations.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the National News Services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Senator, do you think that you named the news organization? That remains to be decided.
I think it was entirely in order for our correspondents at that time to make use of the CIA agent chiefs of station and other members of the executive staff of CIA as sources of information which were useful in their assessments of world conditions.
And that continues today?
Well, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect in doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Remember, the conference line is open. If you have a question you'd like to ask or observation you would like to share, you can call us at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound, and hit *6 and 1 at any time to comment on air. You can use the web-based flash phone to give us a call as well. And the studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. Donald Trump again is starting to get some support from the Republicans regarding the nations that he is calling welfare queens. Really, basically, that's what he's saying. He's saying they are benefiting from the NATO military alliance while not paying their share of the cost. And I would have to say that he's right. He is right on that. Sometimes, I guess, like they say, even a blind squirrel can fumble around and find a nut. So, you know, Donald Trump isn't wrong on everything that he talks about. Whether or not he's sincere and he really intends to do something about it is another matter. And that's with any politician. I don't care who it is. All right. There is always that question of, yeah, what you're saying is right. What you're saying sounds good, but can you be trusted to actually do what you say? But anyway, he's been talking about this, and this is from, you know, Ron Paul when he was running for president. He was about the only one bringing up the issue of all these bases the United States maintain in these countries, basically or technically occupying these countries, whether they are the local population wants them there or not. Like you look in Japan, those local people on the island of Okinawa, they don't want the Marines there and whatnot. They want these people out. You got people in North Korea don't like the military. They look at it as an occupation. But anyway, Ron Paul was talking about, you know, now the United States shouldn't be policing the world. And it's costing us all of this money. It's going to bankrupt us and what have you. And we need to close all these bases in over 180 countries. And then, you know, while it's sold to, you know, the American public and the world, indeed, as, you know, these countries are benefiting mutually from this military alliance and letting us have this base or this port or what have you. But it's the United States that's paying all the money. The U.S. taxpayer is the one footing all the bills when it comes. This is why they tell you, no, you can't have tuition-free college at public colleges and universities because, you know, we got to spend all this money on the military and what. No, you can't have universal health care and single-payer health care because, you know, we got to spend all this money, make sure the defense contractors get their big piece of pie from the budget and what have you. So, it isn't a new issue, and it's just one of those rare times that Donald Trump is making some sense. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this report from the Next News Reports.
Real milk versus almond milk. Ingredients?
All right, we'll let that ad run. And again, this is the Next News Network. Senators are siding with Donald Trump over the NATO free riders, calling the welfare queens basically.
Well, Donald Trump is saying what other people are thinking, and, well, now they're starting to speak out, too. Senators are siding with Donald Trump over what they're calling the NATO free riders. Yes, the free riders. Donald Trump has spent much of his campaign deriding NATO allies for ripping off the American taxpayer and failing to contribute to the world's most powerful military alliance. But on Wednesday, they write, his fellow Republicans joined the chorus during a closed-door meeting with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg on Capitol Hill, according to sources who were in the room. Now, for under an hour, they write, senators grilled Stoltenberg, a former prime minister of Norway, about why only five members of the 28-nation club spend at least 2% of their gross domestic product on defense, the official amount NATO recommends each nation set aside. Some expressed particular dissatisfaction with Germany, the fourth largest economy in the world, which does not even meet the 2% threshold. Yes, shame on you, Germany.
Now I'm going to stop it there before I continue. See, again, this goes to what I'm talking about. Now, when we hear about all these different nations with universal health care, free college tuition and whatnot, we see that those nations that provide that are not spending as much money on military defense and what have you. That's why. That's one of the things I'm observing is, yeah, they people don't want their tax dollars being spent on all this military hardware. Oftentimes, you know, you get spend billions of dollars on a jet that don't even work. The radar don't work, this and that. I mean, I could do a whole program on the waste in the military industrial complex and what have you. But that's why they got other stuff to pay for. They got social safety net programs for their people to maintain. They not going to spend all this money on the military and what have you. So let's continue.
Quote, they're being laggards. I can't think of a better word for it, said Bob Corker, a Republican out of Tennessee, and he's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Apparently he told Foreign Policy this after the meeting. Quote, I've expressed this in Munich, I've expressed this in Davos, I've expressed this in every forum where Europeans are listening. Now, if you recall what Donald Trump recently came out and said, and you know what, I stand 100% in agreement with this, with his policy, that America is doing the heavy lifting across the world. Our military, our men and women are sent to the four corners of the world policing every little skirmish and every little problem. And NATO is no different. We represent a huge percentage of NATO. We send our troops to patrol the Russian border over there. We've amplified our military spending by, what was it, like $3 billion this year? Or was it $3 trillion? I don't remember. It's still, this is an insane number. Now we have rotating armed brigades going that we never had since the end of World War II. Okay, so the amplification of Cold War activities is happening right now, and we're the ones bearing the brunt of it.
Now, I'm going to stop it there. Now, you know who else would agree with Donald Trump on this? Give me just a second. I'm having some technical issues here. All right. President Obama agrees with Donald Trump, because isn't that the same thing he was just saying about some of those Arab Middle Eastern countries and whatnot, talking about Saudi Arabia and whatnot, and saying that, you know, they've just been sitting back benefiting from the United States military and what have you. So, but, you know, President Obama still went ahead and signed that budget increase in military spending, though, didn't he? So, you know, talk is cheap. Let's see. That's all Donald Trump talking about, you know, NATO's not paying its fair share, and, you know, NATO, again, is what they use to commit those war crimes and atrocities and aiding the Islamic so-called rebels in Libya. That was NATO. That was France. And again, we know from Hillary Clinton's emails that the reason France really wanted to get involved was they wanted to destroy Libya so that Libya couldn't work with other African countries and create a united currency for all of Africa backed by the gold dinar. Of course, that would displace the French franc as well as the American dollar, the British pound. It would indeed be one of the top trading currencies in the world because it would be backed by gold resources and what have you. So, again, you know, Donald Trump is not going to talk about NATO in that respect. Moving on. You had Mr. Danny Glover, longtime activist, revolutionary, I would call him. Danny Glover has called on international leaders to apologize for the enslavement of African Americans through reparations. He recently spoke on the subject to the Permanent Council of the Organization of American States. Let's go ahead and take a listen to what Mr. Glover had to say.
The call today for reparatory justice for Afro descendants is an imperative for expanded democracy and spiritual and material well-being. It is a test case for human decency that conforms to the accepted standards of morality. The call for reparatory justice is a marker of the outstanding balance on atonement, adjudicating our past wrongs against fellow citizens who continue to be shut out, marginalized, and discriminated against. The negative consequences of inattention or of insufficient attention to the legitimate demands of Afro descendants in all of our societies for official national apologies for recognition of enslavement of Africans as historically significant crime against humanity requires emotional, psychological, and material repair and reflection. The case of reparatory justice must be formulated and implemented in collaboration with Afro descendants as they proactively envision and construct their futures as full citizens with both self-interest and common interest with other citizens, not as immobilized, pitiful victims. Official recognition by public policymakers of the absence or inadequacy of policies to overcome inhumane negative racialization characterizes in which most Afro descendants live today is a major step towards positive public ownership, not guilt for the past. It is a pathway to lifting the veil of ignorance, frustration, intolerance, and inaction that divides so many among us of our community.
All right.
The call today
was Danny Glover speaking on behalf of those seeking reparations. And again, my only thing with the reparations movement is that you're only tying it to slavery. You're only tying it to the physical enslavement of a small population of the African diaspora. Not all of us were enslaved Africans, but we did suffer under a different form of slavery. Slavery comes in many forms, but we did suffer under racism and white supremacy as codified in law, stripping Afro-descendant people of their human rights. There is documents, you know, all you got to do is go look at the slave codes of the colonies that they wrote. That is where white supremacy first started appearing in legislation as a code And, you know, it perpetuated itself even till today. Even if they don't use the racialized language in their codes the way that they carry out these policies. That's how you have black people being 13% of cannabis or drug users, but making up over 70%, you know, of those in prison for it. Even though that's the same rate that the much larger white population has in this country, but yet, you know, they are not being arrested in the same numbers and incarcerated or enslaved in the same numbers and what have you. It's the way you carry out the policy. You know, it's just that gentleman's agreement, as they say. Now, we're not going to say. But then when I look at New York and I think back to that report and those cops saying we were told to target blacks and Hispanics, young men from the ages of 13 to 21, I think they said, might have said 16 to 21, but targeting kids. This just came out this week. These NYPD slave catchers spilling the beans on the internal operations and how they are told to do things. They have a quota system. They are indeed bounty hunters. They are the new slave patrollers. So we need reparations for that as well. I know Sister Cece shared an article with me, and we're still working to confirm it, myself and Max. But there is a couple of websites that's reporting that Oregon is paying reparations to the people that were locked up under cannabis laws, who had been in prison over cannabis, that they were going to pay reparations. I found two websites, but I cannot say that, you know, I can't vouch for the accuracy of the information. The websites are not satire sites or anything like that. So I'm just looking for some other sources. And, of course, I don't expect CNN, MSNBC to report something like that nationwide. But that, again, is what I'm talking about, though. Paying reparations to the victims of modern-day slavery. Don't just commute their sentence. President Obama, don't just give them a pardon. They need to be paid reparations so that they can repair their lives for all the damage that the Republicans and Democrats have done to these people. So I'm for reparations, but I'm for expanding what qualifies for reparatory justice. And I would be angry with myself if I did not mention before I go off of these airways that slavery, in fact, has not been abolished. 13th Amendment has the exception clause that says, you know, we abolish slavery and involuntary servitude except for those who we have convicted of a crime. Doesn't have to be a real crime. They don't have to be, just because a bunch of politicians said you can't have this, you can't do that, and you can't do this. These are man-made up crimes, not things that people have done that harmed other people. All right. So, you know, all of the new slaves deserve reparations. Maybe even their children and their descendants. You didn't took their father or their mother out of the home on some bogus charges and locked them up for 20, 30 years, robbing those children of their parents and whatnot. They deserve reparations too. Because indeed, this is still slavery going on, and this is still acts of genocide. Genocide isn't just killing a whole bunch of people at one time, but it is killing a whole bunch of people over time and doing other things to destroy them as a people, including putting them into slavery. So we got a whole lot of work to do, people. We got a whole lot of work to do. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, make sure y'all tune in to Tando Radio Show, as Brother Dave will be on air today. Tonight around 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We'll be live streaming, live programming. The Lotus Place should be on. They usually talk about love and relationships on a late Friday night. So for those so inclined, make sure y'all tune in to The Lotus Place tonight at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Again, just want to remind you before we go off air of the Black Radio Stations Matter campaign that we got going on. Contribution of $25 or more will get you an appreciation gift, the Black Radio Station Matter t-shirt. Right now, we just have the white t-shirts with the black logo, but we'll be getting this shirt in several different colors. But you can pre-order, be among the first to pre-order your shirts as we will start shipping them out no later than April 14th of next week. All right, so go ahead and pre-order. Of course, those who also donate $25 or more for the rest of the year, you will get access to our Black Talk Radio Station's performance reports, the reports on all our social media operations, as well as our reach through the podcast. So you feel like you're part of something because you are part of something. You'll see what your investment is doing and how many people we're able to reach through our media operations. So show us that Black Talk Radio does matter by becoming a contributor. Check out the crowdfunding Black Media page on blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can also find it on our other website, blacktalkmediaproject.org. All right, recognize the fact that we do indeed live behind enemy lines of USA Inc. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. When you see, you know, all of this stuff happening out there, you should be cautious when you go out the door. You should always practice what I'm going to call defensive living. You know, I'm going to borrow that term. I'm going to make up that term. A term I learned from defensive driving when I took driver's ed in high school, and they taught you how to be a defensive driver, always being aware of your surroundings when you go through intersections and whatnot, checking your blind spots and what have you. You know, well, let's translate that to living behind these enemy lines. Let's do defensive living so that we don't become easy casualties. And I say easy casualties because I can't tell you anything that I can say. If you practice this, if you follow these steps, if you go by these guidelines, if you use this code, you will never become a victim of modern day slavery. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. But I can tell you, because I've lived it, okay, that you can minimize the harm that'll come to you if you do act in a codified manner and practice defensive living. All right, so until Monday, I won't be back on air till Monday night. Yeah. So until Monday afternoon, y'all be safe over this weekend. Do not be out there engaging in drinking and driving. No smoking weed while you're in the car. If you're going to partake of any kind of that recreational activity, it's best you do it in the safety of your home, on your property. Don't get out there on the roads. We don't want you getting killed. We don't want you killing other people. And we don't want you getting arrested and what have. So just use, you know, common sense. Should be common sense. Don't do it. You may not like riding with a seatbelt, but put that seatbelt on. We don't want that slave catcher having probable cause to pull you over. And then, you know, that lead that gets escalating. The next thing you know, you in jail. Then Monday morning, we hearing about you being found in a jail cell. We don't dead. Because it happens way too much in this country. So just be safe, people. That's all I'm trying to say. Peace and blessings to all.
Because they never want to beat him on the back. What is y'all opinion?